Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And welcome to another off-season edition of Spits and Suds. We'll only say that for just a little bit longer as the NHL is about to kick up. Wow, the countdown is on. Seems like just yesterday we were in the regular season in the playoffs, so it's been an awesome off-season. And that's because of you, the Spits and Suds listener. We started this, I think this is our second year of doing consistent off-season programming, and you guys have come through in a massive way. So truly appreciate it. Thank you guys for making us, I guess, the top stars podcast in DFW, whatever you want to call it. We appreciate you listening. Robert Tiffin will join me in just a moment from NHL.com and StarsThoughts.com. We got a couple of good subjects today to go through. Sean Shapiro on vacation, a well-deserved family vacation this week. We'll talk to Sean next week. And so before we get into these issues with Robert, let's talk about the on-time experts. Let's talk about the weather, and it continues. And I know right now your AC system is probably working good, but the question is can it be great? And yes, even in these high temps, the on-time experts will climb into your attic or wherever your AC is. In fact, when they cleaned mine, they had to climb over my AC system because a part was installed, and it still worked, but it was installed upside down. So they had to go across my AC system because he came down and he was dripping in sweat. And I was like, are you okay? He's like, oh yeah, they just installed this wrong. But he needed to get to that part because he wanted to make sure that it was running right, so it didn't affect the entire system. I think a lot of companies just would have went up there and said, I'm not climbing over that AC system. Everything's fine. But that's the kind of inspection you're going to get from the on-time experts. Thorough cleaning, deep cleaning, so that your AC system goes from good to great. Your power bill will likely, in that case, go down because you're using your AC less because it has less pressure on it. And they have a special right now at theontimeexperts.com. I've been talking about it for a long time because people keep using it. $59 for first-time customers, a complete HVAC system cleaning, and they make sure everything is working properly. Also, that $99 first-time customer first floor drain cleaning. They were out at our Spits and Suds event. They are the official partner of the Dallas Stars. We love them as the official partner of Spits and Suds. Same-day service guaranteed. If your AC unit or something happens, you can rely on the on-time experts. They have the trucks. They have the technicians. They're ready to go. Remember, same-day service guaranteed. You don't need to check into a hotel because they will be there and they will get you the answer you need. The on-time experts at theontimeexperts.com. Always great to spend some quality time with Robert Tiffin of NHL.com and StarsThoughts.com. Robert's putting out great content in this offseason. And the latest, which just dropped within the last hour from Robert, the Stars add two new sweaters to their current three jersey lineup this year. The timing of those two arrivals could be interesting indeed. So Robert goes into some Dallas Stars sweater slash jersey talk, and we will start with that. But first, we will say hello to our friend Robert. How are you, my friend?
Doing great, Gavin. I mean, Sean's on vacation, but we're all not doing too badly ourselves either. So, you know, prayers up to everyone still in DFW right now during this week and all the heat hitting there. But I'm doing pretty well out here on the coast still.
Yeah, and I'm not calling you a fill-in because you're a badass. So, I mean, it's not like you haven't appeared on this program once, twice, or 100 times. So
Hey, you know what? Joel Kiviranta was a fourth liner at one point too. So we all hope we have that moment, right?
NHL.com hired him for a reason, folks. All right. So let's start with this, because we were talking just before we went on. You and I both agreed, like, I love jersey/sweater talk. I am like a fan of it. I love thinking of designs. I'm a logo nerd. So like the fact that the Stars not just have one new jersey coming out and what they're doing in the NHL, it's a special jersey/sweater, and it's called the Hometown Remix Sweaters. All 32 NHL teams will be getting it. It's teaming with NHL and Fanatics. And in a statement yesterday, the NHL said the uniforms will, and I think this is important as far as the design, Robert, will uniquely and authentically celebrate the fans, city, and local culture of each team. Robert, listen, I love the Stars logo. I think their colors are awesome, but I'm excited for this because to me, it should be a jersey sweater that kind of goes away from the star.
Yeah, I think that there's an interesting thing about this new jersey, about the Hometown Remix, is that it's not exactly the same as the reverse retros that they had in the past, the all white one they had a few years back, and then the 2023 one that was kind of a take on the 94, I think, Stars away jersey. This is supposed to be, at least from what we can gather, you know, more information is going to come out, I think probably in October-ish. They say right after the season starts or soon after the season starts. So I kind of assume that's going to be October, maybe November. It sounds like it's supposed to be a little bit more experimental, a little bit more, you know, off the beaten path. I couldn't help but think of the City Connect jerseys in Major League Baseball. There's a lot of similarities in how they talk about them, especially the connections to like local culture and stuff. In baseball, you know, you'd see all sorts of, you know, Motor City, right, for the Tigers. All sorts of kind of wild allusions to local, well, what is that, right? Local culture and all this stuff. You know, you'd see local architecture or things that, you know, region took pride in, but you also saw really crazy colors and patterns and ideas. You know, the Diamondbacks, if you look at their jersey rotation right now, I think they've got like seven different jerseys they'll be wearing this year. Yeah. And the City Connects kind of kicked off some of the heavier use of teal and some other things too they've kind of brought back. So as far as the Stars, that's yeah, like you said, it's really exciting. I personally kind of have a suspicion. I wrote about a little bit more detail about why I think this is. I wonder, though, if for these Hometown Remixes, and I'll say why this is in a second, because the Stadium Series jersey, I think, also has some impact on this that we'll be seeing this year, too. But I wonder if we could see something that at least harkens back to the Skyline Green, the kind of neon of the Blackouts that we saw for a few years, because I know those are very popular, too. And a lot of fans are sad to see him go, and they're really unique, too. And I think those are two things most teams are going to be aiming for with these Hometown Remixes, is something really unique and distinctive, and also something that is kind of their own.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to go like completely off grid. Like I was thinking like something with the Texas flag and that red, white, and blue sweater. I think that would be really cool. I don't know if they want that necessarily in the AAC for years to come walking around. They probably want something that has the green in it, but I don't know. I just think that Texas flag and that red, white, and blue, you know, I mean, I hate to, it's very similar. The Allen Americans use that color scheme, and I think it's extremely effective.
Yeah. The trick with the red, white, and blue is how can you do it without making it seem like, you know, like a Texas Rangers promo jersey, right?
Yes.
You want to make it still your own. And as you know, the Stars seems like they have a perfectly good relationship with the Rangers, but unlike another Dallas sports team that is not the Cowboys, but I just think that they want to make sure it's distinctive in theirs. And so we know that they looked at this, right? This is something that was on the table back in 2013 when they were looking at jerseys. They looked at blue, they looked at red, white, and blue. They looked at a lot of different things before they finally went to the Victory Green rebrand back then. So it wouldn't, for the Hometown Remix, I do think off the beaten path, something really unexpected, we could absolutely see something no one sees coming. Right. Maybe it's something more neon. Maybe it's you know, the blackout jerseys, but it's mostly neon with just a little bit of black.
Yeah.
It looks like they're wearing a, you know, hazmat jumpsuit or something. I don't know. They could get really crazy with it.
So I have an idea. So since they want to keep their green, what about this idea, Robert? technically the new stadium, and you want to tell everyone and promote that the new stadium is going to be Plano on the Frisco border. So technically that's north of Dallas. So we put a big N on the sweater. And then we put, since we want to keep the star, we star at the top. And so it would be an N with a star. And, you know, I mean, if people want to nickname it North Stars, I mean, I can understand why. Yeah.
And since they're going north, you'd want that part of the N to be kind of an arrow pointing to the, I guess, the star from what you're saying. So, yeah.
Yeah, part of the N has like a tollway stuff. It's a toll tag.
The NTTA logo. Okay, that's the shoulder patch right there. It's the orange NTTA. That's pretty good.
I love that. That would be greatness. I would buy that sweater.
Okay. Here, I think a lot of people would too. If you want something distinctly Dallas that reflects local culture, I think toll roads are a pretty good part of getting around town.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Here's what I'm thinking though, is because they have two new jerseys coming, they have the Stadium Series jersey coming also. And because of the timelines for new jerseys and the approval process and everything, I don't know this for a fact, but I think it's pretty reasonable to deduce that the design for these two different jerseys, the Stadium Series jersey and the Hometown Remix, that probably there was some overlap in the design processes for these two. So whichever one they started first, it makes sense to me that they were designing at least one of these and maybe both of them with the knowing the other one was coming as well.
Yeah.
So that means that, and then you just have the 99s, right, that dropped last year. So you have this whole kind of catalog with the ability to, one can be probably more experimental. I would assume that the Hometown Remix one is going to be, as you say, pretty, probably have some edgier stuff, some adventurous, you know, concepts at play. Whereas it makes a little bit more sense to me, the Stadium Series one to be a little bit more, you know, not Winter Classic per se, but you could play with something like that, right? Something that's still good and distinctive, but, on the other hand, Stadium Series is a one-off, right? Whereas the Hometown Remix is something they'll wear at least a few times if it's like all the other jersey programs in the NHL where you have to wear it, you know, minimum of whatever it is, 4 or 5 times. So then you could say, oh, let's get really crazy and let your freak flag fly with the Stadium Series jersey because it's only a one-off. Yeah. And that's what other teams have done in the past too, right? That's when LA did their silver helmets for the first time was the Stadium Series game. We've seen fans Nashville, I think, when they had a Stadium Series game, they put Smashville on the front of it.
Yeah, it's great.
So you could get nuts with a Stadium Series too. So that's really what you have to decide is, do you want to go a little bit more classic with one and crazy with the other? Do you want to go crazy with both? Because you already have the 99s and a 3-jersey rotation of pretty highly thought of designs with the regular jerseys. It's really interesting. And I think it allows them to kind of get really, really crazy with one and maybe go a completely different route with the other. Just it's pretty rare that you have the timing where you get to do two different jerseys in 1 year, especially coming right after you had, you know, the most popular jersey launch in NHL history with the 99s and how fast.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That was a very, very smart idea. I always liked the Tampa alternate jersey that said Bolts diagonally down the sweater. And I'm wondering, maybe just a simplified, like kind of keep the color scheme, but just put DFW slanted. I mean, that, I don't know. I always feel like Fort Worth needs a little love too.
Or you get even crazy, well, not crazier, but you lean into the Texas hockey thing the Stars have been doing for a while, especially with rumored expansion down south.
Yes.
And you put something that says Texas, just really, really big, lean into the Texas part.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Instead of just DFW, which I already like, I think there's something to be said for the DFW. That is really cool. But if you really want to plant your flag and say, no, we are the Texas team, the OG Texas team, then why not do Texas? And then you can do the Texas logo, you know, a little bit, but which they already are kind of doing, right? Like you see with the alternate and center ice and everything, but actually have the word Texas on there somewhere. I wonder if they might look at doing something like that.
Yeah, I also wonder, Robert, is there a merchandise law within the NHL circles that it can only be on sale for so long? And the reason I say that is because I talked to so many people that their favorite jersey is the Winter Classic jersey. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see a return of that. Like you said, some kind of alternative, but even if it's just that Winter Classic for the Stadium Series, that to me sold well. It looked classy. It was just, to me, great, but it didn't last long enough.
No, it was only that season, right? I think they wore it a couple of other home games, maybe two other home games that year, as I recall. That one, look, I'll be honest, and I wrote about this today too. I kind of think that sweater, the Winter Classic sweater, might be the best one they've ever done.
Yeah.
And you can argue about that. You know, the distinctive victory green and stuff is really good. The classics, you know, that they won the cup in. And of course, the 99 kind of reimagining of that jersey last year. Those are obviously all very, very popular. People love the blackouts. But there's something about that Winter Classic jersey to me that is, I hate to say it, but classic. Like everything about it just works. It's both kind of, it looks a little bit old school, but it doesn't look, you know, too dated and kind of like, oh, you're forcing it, you're trying too hard. I just think everything came together perfectly. And if you were lucky enough to get one, I happen to actually have one of those. They used like felt and silver stitching for the Texas logo for the shoulder patch. It's just in the numbers too. It's so unique. They like even having different textures and stuff on it as well as the different patterns, designs, and colors. I kind of tend to rank that one at the top of any jersey ranking list I do, those Winter Classics. And so that's why I wonder if, you know, again, you have two designs, maybe you play with that, you know how popular that was. And like you said, it was only here for a little bit. So if you brought something like that back, a reimagining of that with neon colors, I don't know, right. I'm throwing stuff out here, but you could get pretty crazy. And if you bring something like that back, I have to think it would also fly off the shelves,
you know,
like the 99 did.
I also think stadium series wise, minus precipitation, that roof needs to be open.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look, Rangers Ballpark, right? We all know that if you're lucky enough to be there when the roof is open, it just turns it into a much, much better place than it
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
Same thing. If it's, you know, you don't technically have to call it an outdoor game. It's a stadium series game, but yeah, you want that building to be, you know, open the blinds, keep the, you know, the roof's open, but open the blinds, just make it as open air environment as possible. Unlike the World Cup, right, where they put some shades over it and stuff. So
yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know what, this is a good excuse for the people who, and there are a few of them, that love that Mooters jersey to come out in full effect. You remember that jersey?
Oh man, I remember it really well. And then I remember the Stars doing a prank with it. This is before Gilardi bought the team back in, I think, 2012, because there had been rumors about a redesign coming. And this was in the bankruptcy days. And I think their marketing team at the time was just trying to keep the mood up. You know, the team had missed the playoffs for a few years. And there was a moment, if you'll allow me this story, was a moment where it was an intermission and the Stars did some little marketing gimmick in I think it was the first or second intermission of some game. I think it was later in the season where they said, oh, stay tuned for a sneak preview of the Stars' new jerseys. And it was all just a prank. And someone came out for some reason wearing a horse head mask. Like this actually happened at a Stars game back in like 2011 or 2012 or something. They're wearing like a horse head mask. Like you see those people is dressed up as with the Mooters jersey. And it was kind of, you know, this is like years after the Stars stopped wearing it. And it was kind of a haha, got you kind of like quasi April. I don't know if it was on April 1st, but it was that sort of a thing, just kind of a like, oh yeah, you actually thought it did not go over well. It was kind of, that's one of the moments I always think of as like I get that you're trying to lighten the mood and you're trying to be goofy. And the Stars marketing team for a long time and their game day presentation team was actually doing a lot of good stuff and setting the standard for all sorts of, you know, Jumbotron stuff. Jason Danby and everyone back in the day who were doing a lot of those cool things. That was one where maybe they could have used a couple more people in the focus group meeting to say, hey, jerseys are actually a really big deal to fans. And when the team's not doing well, and then you let them down with showing them the Mooters instead of the actual jersey, that's maybe not in the best of taste. So yes, to answer your question, I absolutely remember that jersey and it was trying interesting things. Wait. Do you think they would actually bring it back? Is that what you're saying? You think they'd bring it back?
No, I don't think they'd bring it back. I think people on social media, there are people that like it, and I think they'd want to bring it back.
Yeah, it is. It does have like a cult following a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, the color scheme's not the issue. It's just it's a interesting design. I don't really understand it. You know.
It was supposed to be Taurus, right? The constellation Taurus or whatever.
Yeah,
so like stars, constellation Taurus, a bull, Texas, you know, a steer or whatever. I get the like if you're you know, whiteboarding or whatever, you're blue skying or whatever, you're trying to come up with stuff, like there's association happening there with Texas concepts, but I think we could all agree that execution probably fell short of the idea.
Yeah. I mean, I am hoping that they kind of stay away from the steer and cattle, because that's so much DFW, so much more than that. Obviously it's a massive part, mm-hmm. farming, agriculture, but, you know, it's kind of like when Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football comes and they always show the cattle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where did you go? Like,
where in Dallas exactly? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that off Royal? Where exactly were those cattle?
Exactly. Yeah. Because I think, like, to be more relatable for the most people in the Metroplex, if you showed a picture of a possum going down like a side street into like a garage, it would be more relatable.
when Sean was in town, actually, we ran across a coyote in, I think it was like near Preston or something when we were driving. Nice. We were from one of the places. So yeah, a possum or a coyote, I think you're more likely to run into in downtown Dallas than a cow.
Absolutely. Well, it's exciting. And I can't wait for the release and the leaks, and I can't wait to see the teams and the rankings, and because every team is doing this. So fascinating. And of course, boy, there's going to be a lot of money spent on new sweaters. And as you mentioned, Robert, Stars did a banger of a job with the 99s last time. All right. Let's move to something that I wanted to clarify. The athletics.
Wait, really quickly. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, really quickly. I've said this before, so this is my bad. But one other thing that I've been kind of waiting for that hasn't happened yet, the Stars are still, or have been at least still, one of the only teams to not have a sponsor on their jersey, to not have an ad solely-ing the jersey. If you'll allow, that's kind of my hockey old school perspective that I think ads hurt them and make them worse. But the Stars fans have been fortunate that if they want to go out and buy a jersey, they've been able to get one. The last couple of years, they've been one of the few fan bases left who can get one without an ad. So I don't expect that will last forever. It could even be this year for all we know. But it is something that's been noteworthy about, especially the 99s, that Stars fans have been able to get a jersey that doesn't have, you know, a random sponsorship patch on there somewhere. So we'll see. I do wonder if maybe you launched, you know, new jerseys, you have five in the rotation. It's really exciting. If this is the time when we might see a sponsor come, just because, yeah, you got the excitement from the jerseys, from the new jerseys, might outweigh any fans who aren't thrilled about the new ad patch. So we'll see what they do. But that's one other thing when thinking about new jersey designs, kind of that I have to keep in the back of my mind, that at some point, that's just the way the league has gone, that probably at some point we're going to see a sponsorship on it. So you just kind of have to be ready for that eventuality is how I think of it.
What about a sweet starsthoughts.com patch?
I'm happy to put a bid in. I'm not sure how competitive it'll be, but you know, you never know. Why not? Hey, it'd be consistent branding, right? That's very coherent. So you make a good point. I'll talk to my marketing team, see what we can come up with.
It's one of my great early moments in Spits and Suds when our friend Fuzzy on Twitter, you get to paint the ice at the end of the year, and he put the Spits and Suds on the ice. I thought that was so cool.
That's really cool.
Spreading the good word. He took a picture and sent it to me. It was one of the awesome moments in Spits and Suds history.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire. Plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. The Athletic / New York Times comes out with an article, and the headline reads, Dallas Stars are number 30 in NHL pipeline rankings for 2026, put out by Corey Pondman. Now, what they go on to say is the star system is thinned out as their elite young players have firmly established themselves in the NHL. So they do make that disclaimer. To me, what they don't say enough is, yes, 30 as far as pipeline rankings for under 23. And that, to me, Robert, is a massive factor, because when you look at the list of all the teams in the rankings, the most successful teams in the NHL are at the bottom of this rankings. Why? Because they've traded away a lot of their prospects.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you look at, just go to HockeyDB and look at the Dallas Stars draft history, and you can see how few of their draft picks the Stars have had in the last, you know, especially, what, 4, 5, 6 years. They've only had, you know, they have one first round pick really in the system right now, and that's Emil Hemming. And they only have that because Jim Nell managed to work some wizardry with Artem Grushnikov in the Chris Tanev trade to keep the Stars' yeah. first round pick. If not for that, they wouldn't have had a first round pick in what, half a decade or something. So it's a testament to the Stars' system, or the Stars' success, how thin the system is. What I would say about that ranking is that I actually don't quibble too much about, you know, if you're going to say the Stars' prospect pool, he Corey Pronman kind of does a lot of things I don't always understand, if I'm really being honest.
Sure.
But he arbitrarily kind of just says, let's use U23. Like you say, that's something that really should be kept in mind.
It's actually, yeah. And correction on my part, player eligibility, all skaters who are 22 years old or younger as of September 15th, 2026. Yeah.
Okay.
Younger.
Yeah. So, but he's also, it's kind of confusing because he's not saying their prospect pool of like players who haven't really become full-timers, because he includes Leon Bischel in that,
right?
In that evaluation. In fact, he has Bischel as the Stars' number one player yes. by this kind of arbitrary definition he has, which, I mean, I guess by his definition, I would agree with that. Certainly, Bischel is, I think any other team would love to have a Leon Bischel in their system, let alone one who's got a couple of years of you know, NHL action and playoff games in it under his belt. Bischel's a great, great player. Stars should be glad to have him. But I don't actually disagree with the fact that the Stars prospect system in general is one of the thinnest ones in the NHL. I think that's pretty undeniable because of the reasons that we've mentioned, right? They've traded those picks away. They've made the Mikko Rantanen trade. They've had the cap crunch that happens when you keep these good players, as opposed to letting go to free agency. So, you know, if Carolina Hurricanes, everyone talks about how great their cap situation is, and it is, but if Jake Guentzel stays for the big deal they tried to sign him to a couple of years ago, if Mikko Rantanen stays for the big deal they tried to sign him to,
yeah,
that cap space would look very different, right? Can you do that and get Nick Ehlers like they did last summer? It's suddenly a very different picture. So, it's so often is the case that when they rank, you know, anything like this, the teams that look the best are the teams that are just coming out of a rebuild because they yes. haven't had time to really muddy their cap situation yet. And they've shed kind of most of the older contracts they had that are kind of clogging things up. So yes, I think the Stars system is probably one of the thinner ones in the NHL because they don't have any of those first round picks. Okay, the other thing I'll say too is that when you take into Prodman's list, did you look at the ranking he had of like their top five players under 23? Like he had Bischel at one, but did you see the next few players he had?
I was surprised. I mean, he lists five, and yeah. Emil Hemming is number five. And I found that specifically after the season that he had in Barry, a little surprising that he wasn't higher. Here's the list: Leon Bischel as number one. Jacob Vanacek at number two, Mons Goose at number three, the goaltender, Ati Joki, the center, at number four, and then Hemming at number five. So yeah, it was to me very, very interesting.
Yeah. I saw all four of those players, Vanacek, Goose, Hemming, and Joki, have been at, you know, Dallas Stars development camp. We've seen, you know, Hemming playing prospect tournaments and things like that. All of those are fine players. I think Vanacek actually has the chance to be a very good player. And Ati Joki, we'll see. He's just never been a very offense heavy guy. That's something he said when I talked to him this summer, that he's been working on and wants to keep working on developing more offense in his game. He's a very strong defensive player, but to right. me, I think what you really see from that ranking is sometimes, again, not to be too critical, I don't know Corey Pronman at all. This to me seems like kind of the pitfall of trying to be someone who writes authoritatively about every single player on every single team.
Yeah.
You're just not going to have as robust a knowledge base in some areas than others. Like you only have so much time. You're one person. You can only read so much.
True.
And this to me is somewhere, I think that list, most people who know the Stars prospect pool a little better would certainly have Hemming closer to the top. You know, I could still argue he's still, you know, hasn't even come to the AHL yet. So maybe you want to say, let's wait right. and see if he can prove it in pro. He got a little cameo last year, but I don't think anyone would say that he's proven that all of that will be able to translate as he faces tougher and tougher competition now that he's out of juniors. But regardless, if you're ranking, you know, in potential, I think Hemming would still be one of the top players for sure. And certainly I would say he's higher up that list than a couple of the other players above him, at least right now. So yeah. It just is, again, I don't really get the whole logic behind it or the ethos behind this ranking. And it just seems a little bit biting off more than maybe an analyst can chew. I don't know. It's very critical. Again, don't know Prominent at all. Maybe he's putting way more work into this than I realize. But I think for me, the ranking of 30th, I don't quibble with that much. But the details of it seem very kind of wild to me.
Well, also, you left Cameron Schmidt off the list.
Good point. Good point.
He's 19 years old. Like, yep. And he's just put up massive numbers in a very, very good league. So, you know, whether Cameron Schmidt shown you that he's not in the top five?
Yeah. And look, the probably the counter argument to that is, okay, well, if we're projecting, you know, NHL likelihood, Cameron Schmidt's size makes him a long shot to even make the NHL. And that's a very fair statement. Okay, fine. If that's the way you're approaching it, then that's fine. But then why do you have Mons Goose there when the Stars have other goals? You know, when they have Arno Tiefensee, who I would say is much closer to getting NHL action, you know, not close right now, but like, I think he's much more likely to eventually see some NHL action than you can realistically say Mons Goose would be right now. He was just drafted last year, 2025. Isn't a player that I think is on the cusp. So unless there's some wild goalie magic that that Prominent has that we don't, to me that seems like a big reach, especially putting him above players like Hemming and even more so players like Schmidt, who at least at their level have shown they can put up really, really good numbers. And you know, they always say you can only play the team that's in front of you, right? And those two other players have certainly done that. So again, I'd just like to see more consistent logic with these things.
Well, because of trades as well, to understand, the Stars have had to change their philosophy a bit with the Mikko Rantanen trade and with other trades where they trade away high picks to get high value players at the trade deadline. That's what you want from your organization. At the same time, you don't have the ability to sign these 17 to 19 year olds through the draft. So what the Stars have been doing, a player like Trey Taylor out of college, who's playing first pairing defenseman in the AHL right now. We've talked about the other Ritzkovian on his way, and we'll see how he does this year. But you look at it coming out of Northeastern, right from college to playing a top two line in the Calder Cup playoffs. So if you don't think that's an impact, I mean, let's see if he can have a big year. So there are players and they've had to adjust, and college free agent signings can be extremely effective. And me personally, Robert, listen, I love the 17 to 19 year old prospects, but I think the college game has evolved to a point where we should start looking at it as its own minor league, to the point where I think NHL teams are completely fine drafting a player knowing that they're going to go to University of Michigan or Boston University. I'm just using those as two examples. Mm-hmm. Just big universities. They know it's not like it's a college pitcher that they're going to be worn out. They trust these programs, and these kids are growing within the college rank. I think it's very smart of NHL teams to have them play right now, one of the high levels as far as college hockey, as far as hockey, is college hockey.
And with the way the cap has changed, I think 5 years ago, especially, you know, in the thick of the flat cap era, the model for like the most ideal team, right? That if you could just cast a wish, if you got a magic lamp, you would want a team that was built on a bunch of young talent, players on ELCs, who then you signed to long-term contracts right out of their ELC to keep that AAV kind of lower. And that was the core of your team. Like, that would be the ideal way to do it. And maybe that you'd argue that's still the ideal way to do it. Teams like Carolina have still tried to do that. But with the salary cap going up as much as it's already started to and is probably going to continue going to do, I think that that's where teams actually, there will be a market inefficiency in just throwing money around like crazy. And teams are going to have to figure out a way to do that. And that's where I think a lot of teams get a little bit more paranoid about, you know, tax advantages and stuff, because the ability to lure free agents or to keep players with big deals that actually is going to be more and more important for the top end guys, because there's going to be so much more cap space available. The great teams, the most attractive teams, they won't be in that flat cap era where they have to still, you know, fit all the pieces in the puzzle. They're, you know, teams like Florida, right? Look what they're doing. They've signed all these guys, and we keep waiting kind of for the other shoe to drop. But then you get ready to start this season with Brady Tkachuk, and everyone's kind of saying, yeah, they look like they could win another cup this year. And it's not like they're exactly, you know, operating on shoestrings or just with prospects. They've gone out and got a lot of players. So I think what you've talked about with college, I'd also mention Arttu Huru is a free agent, undrafted free agent that Stars signed out of Finland.
Yep.
You have to be creative like that. And those players, if you find the right ones, they do a lot for you. They don't cost any draft picks. Obviously, in a perfect world, you would also have your draft picks as well as those players, and you'd be able to complement them. But the upside of the Stars not having a very crowded system with a bunch of high-end players is that you have more opportunity available for players like you mentioned, Dylan Ritzkovian, to come right into Texas and get a big role, because they don't have, you know, four other first-round picks who need to get those minutes, because those are players the Stars have already invested a lot in. It's more wide open. So there are advantages to that, even if it's not kind of the ideal of a few years ago. I really think we're not too far away from, even as close as maybe next year with the Stars, where their cap situation is going to be kind of an afterthought in a lot of ways.
Right. Well, one other thing before we let you go, has there been any rumblings regarding any kind of other activities for the stadium series? Have they talked about, when I talked to Brad Alberts, one of the things that I've always wanted to see, and I know it cost them a home date down in Cedar Park, but I think it'd be wonderful if you did a doubleheader where you had an AHL game followed by an NHL game, and or the stadium series. To me, would be a perfect example of, you're playing it on Saturday, Friday, you know, Friday night, do a AHL game. I don't know. I'd love to feature like a Division I marquee matchup at, you know, in Dallas. I mean, heck, they're playing four of the best female volleyball teams in America collegiately are facing off at AT&T Stadium. So I think that's awesome. I love the use of that facility. It's not like it's just sitting there. It gets used constantly. Any rumblings?
I can tell you what has happened in the past. In the past, teams have often done things like alumni games, sort of a Stars connection. Back in 2016, the Minnesota Wild played a stadium series against Chicago. They faced Chicago despite the NHL actually wanting Dallas to play in that outdoor game, that stadium series game up in Minnesota. But Minnesota wanted to face Chicago instead. You can theorize why that might have been, whether it was for, you know, oh, the draw of a premier team at the time, Chicago was still a marquee team, or maybe it was because of the kind of rivalry of Dallas having come from Minnesota. Either way, Minnesota, the day before that stadium series game, did an alumni game, and their alumni wore the Wild North Stars mashups, the ones that came into the rotation 7 years later in 2023, with the Wild logo, but with the North Stars yellow and green colors. So they actually used that game to, you know, show off a jersey that ended up kind of inspiring a look that they ended up using down the road. So would the Stars do an alumni game where they also get to be a little bit experimental and we see a sixth crazy jersey at some point that we could see? I don't know. Maybe that's asking a little bit too much. But alumni game is kind of thing I've had in the back of my mind. As you say, I think it'd be really cool to get another, you know, premier game. You know, we don't really have a college hockey scene down here, unfortunately, so we can't do something like that. I've seen that happen at other places when they've had an outdoor venue. So alumni seems more likely to me. I suppose we could see, you know, some Dallas Stars elite teams maybe get a chance to skate there or something. The other thing to be said is, because of the schedule, the Stars play on Thursday and the game is on Saturday. So they're kind of in a crunch. So Friday is really the day that any sort of game would have to happen. And I would assume the Stars are also going to be doing, you know, family skate, media and stuff like they did with the Winter Classic, stuff like that, probably the day before. Maybe that'll all be morning skate. I don't know. But the short answer to your question is, I'm not sure. But the long answer is all of those words that I just said. And the alumni game seems as likely as anything.
Well, it's also mostly NHL controlled, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big part of it. The NHL has a lot of control over what, I mean, we saw at the Winter Classic, the Stars weren't even allowed to use their own, what, DJ? Was Jeff Kay allowed to even do it? I need to check with him. But they brought in a lot of their own people to do it because they kind of wanted it to be more of an NHL event at the time than like a Dallas Stars event, because it was supposed to technically be both teams and be an NHL, which was silly. Like they should have allowed Dallas to do a lot more of their things, especially because they had the talent they do, like Jeff Gay and others who actually can do great things there. But yes, the NHL does often have a lot of involvement in the finer details of these things.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be fascinating. And please, if you would like to contribute to our sweater/jersey talk, please, you can find Robert on Twitter and me at GJ Spittle, at Robert Tiffin. We will tweet out this episode and you can comment underneath. Robert's has a great article that's been posted in the last hour that highlights past uniforms, current situation with two jerseys being unveiled. So it's a terrific article. Anything else coming up for you, Robert?
Next week I'm on vacation, so Friday is going to be quiet, but stay tuned for next week. We'll have a lot more, and you'll actually have Sean back, so people will want to start listening again.
No. And if I'm not mistaken, Algorithmically Incorrect came out, right?
We did. Yep. Yesterday, just dropped another episode yesterday too. So this is actually three podcasts that I've done this week. three articles too. So it's been, for vacation, it's still been pretty busy, but in a good way. So I like it. This is my kind of vacation where you get to do the fun work and the fun non-work stuff at the same time.
Absolutely. And please join me in congratulating Robert Tiffin on a well-deserved hire by NHL.com is smart. They hired Robert. So when you see the game notes this year on NHL.com, it will be written by Robert Tiffin. And that is absolutely awesome. So we're really happy for Robert. StarsThoughts.com. That's the best way to support Robert. And you can subscribe. It's a low monthly fee. And Robert has this really cool feature where you can actually put in a request for a specifically written article that Robert will pen, and some great ideas have come out of that. So that's another feature that Robert offers. So you can find him at Robert Tiffin. The YouTube channel is Algorithmically Incorrect with our two guys, Robert Tiffin and Sean Shapiro. Unfortunately, Sean was not wearing Mickey ears. It would have grown the subscriber list, but maybe at our next event we can throw a pair on Sean just for good measure. And by the way, I do need to say this note. I promote We Win Here a lot. And I had skimmed the book through Steven and Sean. Well, I took a plane ride and I am deep diving and I am highlighting history of Dallas Stars and the great stories. That is an outstanding read. So if you get a chance, buy the book from our friends, Sean Shapiro, Stephen Meserve. They were signing a bunch of copies at our event, We Win Here. I've learned so much about the Texas Stars and Dallas Stars from Robert, Sean, from Stephen, from Leah, David Castillo, everyone involved in this Stars community. Thanks, Robert. Enjoy your vacation, my friend. You deserve it.
Thanks, Gavin. Talk soon.
And that's going to do it for another episode of Spits and Suds. Thanks again to all of you for listening this off season. Thanks to Gregory Finley, our producer, who makes this thing happen. Also to the on-time experts. Remember, same day service guaranteed. They are awesome. Please mention Spits and Suds. It helps support this program. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Until our next podcast, stay cool and have a great day, everyone.